Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
This is the fourth and final installment of King of Hearts, David, the man after God's heart. Someone asked me, they said, are we going to get to Bathsheba and Absalom and Uriah? And at this point, we're probably not, it's in the notes, but we probably won't get that far. And even though it's the final session, let me just tell you this, that all of David's mistakes he recovered from because he had the heart of God. So let me encourage you and I both to concentrate on getting the heart of God in our life. And it doesn't matter what mistakes happen, tough times that come, we will recover, we will get up, we will dust ourselves off, and we will continue forward. Acts chapter 13, verse 22, the King James Version reads it like this. And when he had removed him, Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will. Acts chapter 13, verse 36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid under his fathers and saw corruption. Talking about the King of Hearts, turn to your neighbor and tell him, heart surgery starts now. You may be seated. How many of you have ever had a heart procedure? Just raise your hand. I've never had one. From what I can tell, it's not a fun process. Because they're either doing it externally with electric charges, or they are cutting you open and literally reaching in and taking the most valuable organ you have in their hands, and they are replacing things, cutting things, adding things. It's not a very comfortable procedure or steps, but they do that because there is a better quality of life after you go through that procedure. Now, what I love about God is there is some times that I am and you are made uncomfortable. That when God puts us on the potter's wheel, come on, church, it doesn't always feel good. Doesn't always excite us to go through some of the manipulating and bending us and pulling us and buffing out the marred places and the rough places. But just like a heart surgeon, when God is done, the end product is a lot better than the beginning product. And what God has promised you and what is ahead of you is greater than what is behind you. But sometimes we've got to go through some procedures to get where God has called us to be. David is that man. David was the youngest of eight sons that Jesse had. Three of his brothers had been trained for war and battle, and they are working under the regime of King Saul, the first king of Israel, and we'll get to him in just a moment. But I want to read in verse 22 because there's something that just jumped out at me that this week while I was praying over this and doing some further study, that the beginning of David's life, the prophetic word here, is that God had raised up David, verse 22 of Acts 13, to be the king of Israel. To whom also he gave the testimony, he said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, and he will fulfill all of my will. Let that be God's prophetic declaration about us, that no matter what happens in our life, that we will fulfill everything that God has placed on us, in us, and in front of us. What I love about this text is that God goes out on a limb and says, I trust the anointing that David will carry, and I trust the heart that I'm going to place into David, that no matter what mistake he makes, he might fulfill some of his selfish will along the way, but at the end of his life, he will fulfill all of my will that I've placed. Come on, church. There's been times that Brandon, I have been guilty of fulfilling my will and what I've want done, and we look at that as a negative, and it is a negative if it's contrary to God's will. But sometimes I let and I give in to my selfish will and my selfish desires and doing it my way, and I know I'm not alone in that. But I also understand this, that just because I've done it my way on Monday doesn't mean that I can't get back on track on Tuesday and make sure that His will is being established in my life and done on this earth. Can I encourage you, do not be held hostage by your past sin. Do not be held hostage by your past mistakes. When you called on the name of Jesus, He came into your life. He now sits on the throne of your heart. You might have fallen short of God's glory, but you got back up and God gave me a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. That we are covered by His blood and His heart now beats in our chest. So before you were born, God said, I'm going to make sure that they have a heart like me. I'll make sure that they're going to fulfill my will that I place on them. At the end of his life, looking backwards, it says that David served his generation. Why? Because he had the heart of God. We left last session with David's prayer in Psalm 51, verse 10, 11, and 12. And this comes five verses after he says, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Can I just let everybody know, because we have some first-time guests, and I don't know where you are on the theological spectrum, but everybody that takes a breath on this earth is born into sin and shapen in iniquity. We all need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. It is not Muhammad. It is not Buddha. It is not Hare Krishna. It is not Tom Cruise with his Scientology. It is not all of the false religions. It is not Allah. It is Jehovah God that came to this earth in the form of His Son named Jesus Christ, who said, I am the door. I am the only door. I am the way, meaning there's only way. I am the truth, meaning I'm the only truth. And I am the life, meaning I'm the only life. David said, I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. But the prayer that he prays in verse 10 changes everything. He says, create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Your homework this past week, as we got through 1 week ago today, was to make this part of your prayer repertoire every day. Can I tell you that every morning when I get in my truck, the past 7 days, the first thing that I've done is not started my truck. The first thing I did was not run through my phone looking for what song I wanted to play. Before I ever turned my truck on, I said, God, create in Brandon, create in me a pure heart. Give me your heart and renew my spirit. And can I tell you, the last 7 days, I've had Holy Ghost Church in my truck for about 90 seconds before I ever left my house. Why? Because when you pray that, there is a peace that floods in. There is a joy that floods in. God, I don't know what this day holds, but I know who holds the day, and I know whose heart I have, and I know the spirit you place within me. Create in me a pure heart. Create means out of nothing, which means at any moment of your life, church, you can pray that prayer. You could be at the lowest point in your life, and you could say, God, create in me, because God doesn't have to have all of the ingredients. He can create in you a pure and clean heart today and renew a steadfast, a spirit that is unchangeable, unmovable. Psalm 73, verse 26, and we've been going through some of these psalms that tell us how David received the heart of God and maintained the heart of God. I love this one. It reads like this in the NIV, the 73rd Psalm, verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my strength. He's the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We used to sing a song back in a few years ago here at Living Way, that God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And that song would probably say that 50 times in about 4.5 minutes. But let me tell you something. Until the word of God is understood, meditated on, and received, it's got to be repeated. It's got to be a part of our repetition every day. And so this is another one that David, after he said, created me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit in me, this is what he said. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God, you are the strength of my heart and you are my portion. I don't care what the world is trying to put on me. You are my portion.
portion. You are my prize. You are bigger than them. You are greater than them. You are stronger than them. And so, God, when I have your heart, I have your strength. And when I have your strength, Goliath cannot defeat me. When I have your strength, a mistake with Bathsheba is not going to stop me. When I have your strength, what I did to Uriah is not going to derail my future. I have your heart, and because I have your heart, I have your power and your strength. And if I have that, that's all I need. It can be all of hell versus me, but I've got your strength, which means I have heaven behind me and in front of me, and I cannot fail. Cannot fail. 1 Samuel 16. Get into the story, David. We touched on this, I believe it was the first week. Saul was the first king of Israel and he's been rejected. This is what God would say to Samuel. How long are you going to mourn over Saul? Since I have rejected him as king of Israel. This is where it gets a little difficult. Because Samuel is supposed to be a man of God. He is supposed to be a prophet, yet he cannot tell when the king that God has anointed has lost his anointing. And he doesn't even know that God has rejected him at first, and then after God rejects him, he is mourning and crying over God's rejection. Can I tell you that when God rejects something out of your life, it is not the time to cry, it is the time to celebrate. Because that which God rejects are those things that are holding you down and holding you back. And so when God rejects something out of the believer's life, it's a reason to throw a hand up in the air and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for dispelling that person or that thing out of my life. Because if that king don't move out the way, how am I ever going to step into the promotion you've called me to be? Can I tell you that somebody in this room or watching online, you've been crying about the thing that God raised you up to replace. Don't cry about them. Celebrate the fact that God sees something in you that he didn't see in them, and he's making a way to bring you in. David filled the void. He said, get yourself ready, Samuel. Get a horn of oil. This is verse 1 and 2 of 1 Samuel 16. Get a horn of oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king. But Samuel said this, how can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. Come on, Samuel, you're a man of God. Quit crying about what God has rejected and start looking for the man that has the heart like God. Because when you find that man, you are going to elevate an entire people. Come on. You're going to elevate an entire nation. Can I talk to the husbands in this place? When you get a heart after God, you're going to elevate your marriage. Can I talk to the parents in the house today? When you get a heart after God, you're going to elevate your entire family. Can I talk to business owners, employers, and employees? When you get the heart of God, everything connected to you, it rises. It's like a high tide. It brings all boats up. But we are so busy concentrating on what we've lost and what's been rejected. And it's amazing to me that a man of God named Samuel is now scared and afraid, and he's crying over what has been rejected, which leads me to this point. If you mourn too long about what has been lost, your mourning will turn to fear. Your mourning will turn to fear, and it's no longer crying because of what I've lost. I am now scared because I don't think I have what God said I would have. There's a danger in mourning too long. If you've heard me this year, we preached about blessed are those that mourn, that you get to be introduced to a God that embraces you in a brand new way. And you've heard me say this, and I think I need to say it again. You can move while you mourn. You can worship while you mourn. You can serve while you mourn. Come on, those of you with kids, when you would yell at your kids and you might have to spank them. It didn't matter to you that they had big crocodile tears running down their face while they were cleaning their room. You just wanted them to clean their room. You can work while you cry. You can love while you mourn. You can give while you mourn. But if you mourn too long, like Samuel, a person of God, that mourning can turn to fear. Chapter 16, verse 6. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. I don't look at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. People look at the outward appearance. It goes on to say, but the Lord looks at the heart. How much do we look like God? The more you look like God, the greater favor, the greater anointing, the greater power, the greater future. But the more you look like God, the greater the attack. The more you look like God, the greater the struggle. The more you look like God, the greater the enemy comes against you to prevent you from doing what God created you to do. And so you have to understand, when I have the heart of God, that heart, remember, we've talked about it, changes what I say, changes how I act and what I do. So when I have the heart of God, it makes everything else about me look different, and I begin to look like God. Have you ever gotten saved and you went back to your hood? Your family reunion? Your 20-year high school reunion, and they say, man, you're not the same guy. Believe me, I grew up and went to a private Christian school, and I still see some of them knucklehead, some of my friends. They're watching probably today. And they say things like, man, Fender, you're different. You're not the same guy that was in high school. Well, I hope not. It's been 20 years. Since I saw you last, I got for real saved. Come on now. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I got married, I've had kids, I'm a father, I'm a pastor, I'm a leader in my house, my church, my community. I hope I am a lot different than the last time you saw me. But what they're really saying is something happened from the inside out. We can't pinpoint what it is, but something is different about you. And unless somebody can tell by the outside what God is doing on the inside, you're not living it right, because something should be happening at the rate on the inside that everybody around you can tell it. There's something about you. You're not like all the other kids. You're not like all the other people who applied for this position. You are changed. You are different. That's right, I am. Why? Behold, all things have become new. I am a new creation. The old things have passed away, all because I got and I received God's heart in my chest. How much do we look like God? God is looking for someone that resembles himself. And when he finds that person, he places in them his heart. Check this out. If you're taking notes, write these down in some form or fashion. You can paraphrase these. The nation of Israel rejected God as king. Check this out. God is the king of all kings, Christ, the king of all kings, the Lord of all. He is Jehovah God. He is the creator of the earth. He is everything that we see. God created. He has his chosen people, the nation of Israel. He has taken these people. He has promised. He has done all of these things, but still the people are saying, we want a king like everybody else has. Oh, you don't. You know the worst thing that ever happened to our world was monarchies and democracy, because we're supposed to be God-led. We're supposed to hear from God and manage our life like that. They said, we understand who you are, the Church of Jehovah God, but we want a God that we can see. They knew the heart of God, but they rejected God. The people of Israel rejected God because they could not see him. Can I just press pause on this point and say, do not reject what God is doing, how God is doing it, and the timetable that God is doing it on just because you can't see him, just because you can't see it working. Just because you can't see him working in front of the scenes doesn't mean that he's not behind the curtain of your life, rearranging everything and getting ready to introduce you to a new way of life. I have come to tell you that faith is not being able to see it yet in the physical, but being able to see it in the spiritual. But an entire nation says, we want to be like everybody else. Isn't the whole point of making Jesus the Lord of our life about becoming not like everybody else, but becoming like him? The nation of Israel rejects God as king because even though they knew his heart, they couldn't see his faith, see his flesh. Faith is diminished when we cannot see what we have. Here are the greatest things that you own cannot be seen. Love cannot be seen. You see expressions of love. Hope cannot be seen. Faith cannot be seen. Joy cannot be seen. Peace cannot be seen. All of the greatest things in my life cannot be seen. But faith is diminished a lot of times when we cannot put it in front of us, hold it in our hand. God rejected Saul as king because even though he could see Saul's flesh, he looked in but could not find his heart in Saul's body. Reject. That word rejection is a strong word. He had put up Saul and now he's taking Saul down. He anointed Saul and now he's removing his anointing. He had given Saul his spirit, now he's taking that spirit back. All because Saul did not have the heart of God. David is anointed by God and accepted by man. Not because not only could they see him in the flesh, but God could see that David had his heart. When you and I have the heart of God, church, something special happens. Because not only does God see you for what he created you to be because you now contain his heart, but the world treats you a different way, and they don't even know why they treat you that way. It's because they see the God in you. And even if they don't worship the God in you, God is going to make them bless you. God is going to make them treat you a certain way. God is going to give you opportunity. God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. God is going to give you a yes when everybody else has had no. God is going to give you acceptance when everybody else has dealt with rejection. Why? Because God sees his heart in you. And even though they might not be able to see it, they sense that there is something divine about you. Verse 8, Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass. That's another one of Jesse's sons. Had him pass in front of Samuel. Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass. But Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to all of them, the Lord has not chosen these. So Samuel turns to Jesse and asks him, are these all your sons? He said, there's still one. He's the youngest. And he's tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. Verse 12 of Samuel, 1 Samuel 16. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health. He was glowing. He was glowing, church. He was covered in manure, sheep manure. He was glowing. He was covered in mess. He was serving so hard he had it all over him. He was still glowing. He stunk, but he was glowing. He was sweaty. Maybe that's why he was glowing. Something about what was going on the inside of him overrode everything that was on and going on the outside of him. When you and I have the heart of God, and in my mind, I thought you'd say amen better right there. In my mind, the heart of God, when we have God's heart in us, it changes. You could be going through the biggest mess of 2020. You could be having the biggest fight of your life, but somehow you're still glowing. Somehow you're still rising to the occasion. Somehow you keep putting one foot in front of the other. Somehow you keep waking up saying, this is my day. Somehow you keep dressing the kids and bringing them to church. Somehow you keep going to the job that you hate. So why? Because there's something in you that's glowing at a rate that cannot be covered up by what's on you. What is in you is greater than what is on you. He sent for him. He was glowing with health, had a fine appearance and handsome features. And the Lord said, rise, anoint him. This is the one. The Lord, listen, this is how out of it Samuel is. The Lord had to tell him, this is the one. Let me tell you how crazy this is. Sister Glory, it's the last son. He's seen the other seven, and God brings the one that doesn't look like much, but he's glowing. He's the youngest. He's the skinny kid. He hasn't got all the muscles that his older brothers who are fighting for Saul have. And God said, Samuel, wake up. I know he doesn't look like much, but he's got my heart. That's why it doesn't matter your age. It comes down to, do you have the heart of God? That's why it doesn't. I'm so sick and tired of all of these so-called pastors saying that women can't preach and that women can't pastor. Oh, come on, when they get the heart of God, they can do everything a man can do. Sometimes they can do it while raising kids, while working a job. Come on now, while taking care of the family. I am here to tell you, your age doesn't matter. Your gender doesn't matter. Your race doesn't matter. None of that, your past doesn't matter. All that matters is are you glowing because of the heart you have beating in your chest? He said, Samuel, that's the one. Rise up, anoint him. He's got my heart. He's the next king. Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers. From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. The Spirit of the Lord powerfully came on him when he had the heart of God. God anoints. I love this. God anoints before he promotes. God anoints before he promotes. The heart of God and his anointing are an unbeatable combination. David had the heart of God when nobody was watching. Now all of his brothers are standing by as he's being anointed. In just a few short days, the entire nation of Israel will be singing his praises and write a song of number one hit saying, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And it's a prophetic song because David had only slain one and his name was Goliath. But I am here to tell you that there are people in your life right now that they might not know who you are, but when they realize that you've got the heart of God in you and the Spirit of God on you, it's going to take you places that you can never be. When you've got the heart of God in you and the Spirit of God on you, you cannot stay down. When you've got the heart of God in you and the Spirit of God on you, you cannot be depressed. When you've got the heart of God in you and the Spirit of God on you, you cannot stay sick. When you've got the heart of God, come on church, and the Spirit of God on you, you cannot stay broke. When you've got the heart of God in you and the Spirit of God on you, your marriage can't fall apart. When you've got the heart of God in you and the Spirit of God on you, the prodigal can't keep running that way. You need the heart of God in you and the Spirit of God on you. Heart of God in you and the Spirit of God on you. Last week, I preached this entire message. I hope he's here today. A gentleman walked to the edge here and he said, which that's happened to me a few times. Usually it's not a good thing. Because they're going to question your theology or they're offended by something you said. He had his phone out. He said, what did you say about the willing heart, having the heart of God? I looked him in the eye and I said, brother, that's what I preached on for 35 minutes. I said a lot. He said, but there's something you said about the willing heart. The heart of God. And I thought, and then boom, he said, it was at the beginning. I said that David was never moved out of obligation. He was always moved out of a love for God, the sheep, and the people of God. And he said, that's it. And I said, and a willing heart. He said, what's a willing heart? I said, having a willing heart is having a heart like God, where everything that God loves, you love. Everything that God wants, you want. And this elderly gentleman said, that's it. Typed out on his phone and walked away. I wish that in all of our spirit, when we heard the word that God wants us to say, we would say, that's it. Write it down, walk away, and live it. Stand on your feet, church. I have three or four friends that call me every week. Sundays, sometimes Wednesday night, sometimes Saturday night, sometimes Thursday, Monday. Say, what'd you preach? Tell them what I preached. I'll preach it to them in 3 minutes. And you're saying, well, if you can preach to them in 3 minutes, why can't you preach to me in 3 minutes? Listen, you give 10% of your tithe here. You deserve more than the 3-minute sermon. So I tell them about plot twist. Oh, my God, that's a word. I'm going to repackage that and preach to my church. Go ahead, do it. Tell them about paparazzi. Oh, my God, that's a word. I'm going to repackage that, preach to my church. I tell them about King of Hearts, and they're like, okay. It's too basic for them. But sometimes we overlook the basic because we're looking for the big amens and the tweetable quotes, something that we can put on our Instagram. When it all comes down to this, is His heart in you and is His spirit on you? Hate cannot stay when His heart is in me and His spirit is on me. Years ago, I sat at a truck stop in Shirts, Texas, and had an hour and a half conversation with a Muslim man. I told him about Jesus. He'd tell me about Allah. I'd tell him about the Word of God. He would tell me about the Quran. I'd love to tell you I led that man to Jesus that day, but I didn't. But I'll tell you what I did. Loved him. Didn't treat him any different because he didn't believe like me. Do I believe he's lost and needs a Savior? Yes, I do. Just like the guy who was raised in a Baptist church that doesn't know Jesus. Just like the pastor's kid who strung out on heroin today needs Jesus. Religious, sexual orientation, race, none of that matters in the realm of loving someone. Don't have to agree with what they believe to love them. And I believe that when you love them, you open their heart to what God has called you to do, David, which is to lead people. And to lead people closer to God. I don't know what's going to happen on November 3rd, but I do know this. On November 4th, I'm going to love somebody. The heart of God's not going to be taken out. I'm going to still have that heart. I'm going to still have the spirit. Now, some of you are thinking, man, if that man gets reelected, I'm going to need a double dose of his spirit. You might, and that's a good prayer. But 10 years from now, your heart still needs to be his heart. To raise kids in this day, you need the heart of God in you, the spirit of God on you. David was the king of hearts, not because he was mistake-free, but because of what in him and on him wouldn't let him stay down. I want to open this altar right now for those of you who life's uncertainty, life's difficulties. Maybe it's not even the difficulties. Maybe you're just saying, God, I'm growing and I want more of your love and your heart.